You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Well, we're 2 hours into our extensive opinion and analysis, commentary coverage on Ferguson, Missouri. You know what I'm talking about. The events in Ferguson, Missouri. We've still got an hour to go this evening, and we will continue it again next week. It is that big of a story, folks. We're going to bring some guests on next week to help us sift through the rubble, but we have opened up the phone lines here. Keith wants to talk more about the militarization of the police, and we're going to get into that. The number, though, if you want to be on the line with us, of course, 1-866-986-6397. Already received calls from listeners in New York, Ohio, and Alaska. Let's go now to Don in California. Don in California, you're on the political cesspool.
Yeah, greetings from behind the lines of Mexican-occupied Southern California. You are quite correct in your assessment of the Ferguson incident as an extremely important event. This was picked by the media and, I believe, by the administration as an election year ploy to influence the outcome of this year's 2014. That's what happens when you
a good question.
Mind is the second thing to go. But in any event, I think white people are really lining up on this thing. There's a fundraising website for Darren Wilson, and in about a week, they've already hit $250,000. They are fundraising for the purpose of legal fees and various kinds of expenses that will be associated with his defense and his maintenance in light of the fact he's probably going to lose his job or at least be off duty for quite a while. Now, the significance of that is that is new money coming into the pro-white movement, and I know this is not officially a pro-white movement, but it is implicitly, and I think it will be explicitly a pro-white movement just by the operation of natural law, that the racial lines are being very, very, very unmistakably drawn. This is new money coming into the pro-white movement. This is not the same old financial supporters of political cesspool and other pro-white organizations that are digging more deeply into their pockets. These are new people coming out to fight to stand up for the white race, and I think that is really an extraordinary something we should all be grateful for, and I think that's going to start translating into tangible political power very quickly. I think one of the reasons this guy, the district attorney, has not stepped down is that people are beginning to realize that all these black demands in the name of civil rights are really simply attacks on democracy. The district attorney is democratically elected, and the mere fact that he's lost the confidence of the black community is no more reason to strip him of his power and, in effect, reverse an election in which he was the winner than it is to ask Obama to step down because he's lost the confidence of so much of the white community. The white community would never dare to even make such a demand. So that's a pretty significant thing. I'm prepared to say there is a good chance charges will not be filed. I think there is that much stiffening and resolve. And I think the pro-Michael Brown narrative here is collapsing. It is collapsing even more quickly than the George Zimmerman narrative collapsed. And that is the great benefit of alternative media. We no longer have to rely on the mainstream media for our information. But, you know, they are proceeding as if they still have all of the power they formerly had before the Internet and before the rise of the alternate media. I think this whole Ferguson thing has been a serious miscalculation because it's going to result in an increasing awakening on the part of white people, an increasing awareness that we are under siege, and frankly, people are going to come out and say openly what they've thought for many, many years.
Blacks do not. Let me say this, if I could,
same way we do.
Look, here's what's going on. Let me just tell you what's going on, okay? we only hear from certain segments of the black community, which seem to be radical. Why is this? They're being chosen by the masters of the media, by the Jewish-run media. Now, why do I say Jewish-run media? They were always the Jewish-run media. Why is that important? It's important because Jews are the most liberal part of the population that passes for white. Typically, they vote 80% for the Democratic candidate for president, which is a pretty good self-identifier of whether or not you're liberal. Now, all of this has happened before. It happened in the black civil rights movement of the 50s and 60s. Why is it not working today? You put your finger directly on it. Back in the 50s and 60s, there was no effective alternative information source to the three alphabet soup networks and the big publishing empires of the New York Times, Gannett, Scripps Howard, all these others. There was no way for alternative information to be circulated. Now we have the internet. This is why the left is so intent upon regulating the internet. We would be seeing none of this if we didn't have, one, an internet, and two, if we didn't have shows like The Political Cesspool and others that are committed to not making money so much as telling the truth. We now give alternative information to people. You know, talking about militarizing the police, this again has a long heritage. After Reconstruction, one of the first laws passed by the newly formed Congress that had white Southern representation in it was the Posse Comitatus Act. What was the purpose of the Posse Comitatus Act? To assure that there would never again be a time in which the U.S. military would be used as a police force to oppress the citizens of America, as had been done during Reconstruction. Now, because of the limited media resources that we had during the civil rights movement of the 50s and 60s, the federal government did exactly that. They militarized the army and used them as a police force against American citizens at the University of Mississippi in 1962, at Little Rock in the integration of Little Rock Central High School in 1958, and in Selma in 1965. And numerous other times. Now we have an effective way to challenge what's being done, to question it and get the word out, like Paul Revere. And this is, you know, just like you said, what is happening is that the effort to proceed as if there was no internet, which is what the mainstream media is doing, they're acting as if there is no other source of information other than them and that they control the narrative. They're masters of the discourse. They aren't, and as a result, people like you and me are being radicalized by these events. When we see this intentional usurpation, this intentional effort to basically tear down the institutions of our society and government. And we're going to talk more about this and other issues related to it after these words from our sponsor.
Thanks for the call, John, or Don, rather, and we're going to get to John in California right after this. Stay tuned.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
Get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
I want to thank Don in California for his call. He brought up a lot of good points, not the least of which is he mentioned this DA there. Now, this DA, if I have my facts correct, his father had been murdered by a black man in the past, as a policeman. His father was murdered by a black man. This is the DA there in Missouri. And they, of course, asked him to step down. They asked him to relinquish the office that he won by public vote, but not Eric Holder, who goes down there and racially grandstands because he'd been pulled over for speeding by a white cop and wasn't elected to anything. But this DA did not back down, and that's what Don was getting at, that perhaps now the spines have stiffened a little bit because it is just getting so out of control. I mean, when Bill O'Reilly, Megyn Kelly, and Charles Krauthammer sound like James Edwards, Winston Smith, Eddie Miller, and Keith Alexander, you're getting somewhere, at least on this issue. Now, are these our allies? Are these people we can bank on in the future? No. But on this issue, they're nipping at our heels. And Don also commented on why the media is choosing this instance, which is just such a poor instance. You know, they're so starved to find a rabid white racist killing a black for no reason that, you know, they're just starving for it, that they settle for these instances. These are the best they can do. It's just horrible. I mean, they used to have better discipline. Back in the 60s and in the 50s, they would manufacture these things like Rosa Parks. I mean, they orchestrated that. Rosa Parks was selected. I mean, they had a couple of candidates before her who wanted that role for the bus stunt, but they manufactured that. And she fit the role well. She was this tired old seamstress. I mean, that made for a good story. That made for something that people could believe. But when, you know, even though it was a farce, they at least put a little production value into it. But Trayvon Martin and Michael Brown, I mean, this is what they're choosing to advance their narrative. It's the worst they could possibly do.
Well, they choose what they want to do, and they think they're still in charge of the narrative. Because we have a Jewish-run media, we have an extremely liberal media run by extreme liberals. That's what you take away from this. Now, most American whites are not extremely liberal, at least not most whites that live in red state America where we live. So consequently, this is why we in Red State America feel like we are living in enemy-occupied territory. Nobody around here thinks like the talking heads for CNN or MSNBC, but we're led to believe that this is the only legitimate outlook that a person of goodwill can have. That keeps being fed to us. And our lifeline is the internet and alternative media. I think the rest of the country is understanding that now, and we're beginning to see a sea change. We're seeing now that the so-called mainstream conservatives are having to react to us rather than we're having to react to them. And this is an important shed moment, I think, in American history, in modern American history. What's going to happen is that we're going to be radicalizing middle America. Now, we've got a caller on the line now, John from California. John, are you still there?
Absolutely. Good evening, gentlemen.
What can we do for you, John? Good evening.
Hey, I just wanted to back up your front caller there, Don. I think the incident does draw more stark contrast, and I think that's good. I'd like to see more Fergusons myself, but that's another story. like I said,
well, you know, of course,
I wanted to say, I just
yeah. Well, you don't want to see lawlessness. You don't want to see.
He got on before me, but nonetheless, if it wakes up these folks that are sitting there drinking their beer, then that's good.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I mean, certainly you don't want to really see violence and lawlessness, but if you have to endure it, if the after effect of that is more people open their eyes and come to the realization that, hey, there's something wrong with this narrative of diversity and multiculturalism that has been force-fed to religious status. I mean, it is, you know, political correctness is the state religion of America anymore. You can't, you know, certainly not Christianity. You can mock, you can urinate on Jesus Christ, you can ridicule and scorn him, but by God, if you break this narrative of political correctness, that's when heads are going to roll. And that's what we're seeing here. But yes, I mean, this is the one silver lining that you can draw from these, you know, horrible manifestations of diversity, is that more people come to be right-thinking people all the time from it. And thanks for the call, John.
Let me add this. We're forgetting that there are real people that are losing their livelihoods as a result of this nonsense. There are shop owners there in Ferguson, Missouri, that have lost their businesses. It's not going to be covered by insurance because insurance is a fraud, basically, for most people. You think covering a particular loss, and then you find out about all these exceptions that have been approved by state insurance commissions, which should never have been approved. And I guarantee you, all of these shop owners that have seen their, that when they see what their insurance company, what their reaction is to their losses, they're out of business. A lot of these are immigrants. A lot of these people will conclude that America is not as advertised. It's actually as lawless as Palestine or as Syria or some other part of the world is now. In other words, America is becoming third world, and we are adopting the ways of the third world, and the left intends this result. It's the Cloward-Piven strategy all over again.
Hey, Keith, that triggered something that I wanted to share, and this was in one of the pieces that we published at thepoliticalcesspool.org this week, and that is, yes, I mean, if they want to revert back to tribal justice, if this is how it was done in Africa and that's the kind of society they want, well, first of all, they could always go back if they really feel so strongly about it. But, you know, perhaps we should let them have what they want. Perhaps all of the white government, all of the white law enforcement, all of the white citizens of Ferguson should just pick up stakes and leave and just leave it to them. And let's see whom needs whom if such a situation were ever to present itself. They love to complain and file the grievances about white society, but let's see if they really had to live without whites, how, you know, what kind of living they would have. And I think you look to Detroit and you would find the answer. We got, you know, I got to ask this, though. We're opening up the phone lines. We've got this flood of callers in the queue. Where are the Southerners? We've had two calls from California, Ohio, Alaska, taking our second call from New York right now, 1-866-986-6397. 1-866-986-NEWS is the number. JJ in New York is on the line.
Hi. I just wanted to mention, you had said earlier that you would do anything or pay any amount of money to escape having to live in an environment created by blacks who are out of control and lawless. But if you look at what the federal government is doing through HUD, through their affirmatively reaffirming fair housing, there will be no escape because their plan is to move blacks out of the ghetto and into white neighborhoods because they have something that they call the tyranny of the zip code. Have you heard of that?
Yeah, we have heard about that. In fact, they have in Memphis a program where they tear down all the old virtually indestructible housing projects and replace them with Hope 6 housing. This was a federal program initiated under the Clinton administration. HOPE is an acronym that stands for Housing Opportunity for People Everywhere. It removes the old housing project and replaces it with so-called mixed-use housing for poor, middle-class, and rich. Well, I don't see a lot of millionaires picking up stakes and moving into these places, so they're typically about half-filled. And what happens to the denizens of public housing? Well, they're given Section 8 housing, and they're pointed towards the inner suburbs of Memphis, for example. That's what I'm familiar with. And what has happened is you see much ballyhoo about the dropping crime rates in the inner city. Well, that's because they've moved the criminals out of the inner city and moved them into the suburbs, where innocent people of all races have scrimped and saved to try to improve the standard of living of their own families, and their best efforts are being sabotaged intentionally by the government.
Great point, JJ. Yeah, great call. Hey, stay on the line with us. We always like calls from females, right, Keith? I mean, that doesn't happen enough. All right, JJ, stay with us. We don't want to cut you off, but we do have to go to a commercial break, and we'll see you on the flip side. Don't go anywhere.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQonline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQonline.com. Subscribe now.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
Bye.
welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
We're going to get back to JJ in New York, who had called in just before the last break, in just 1 second. But first, I just want to say, certainly I hope that everyone's enjoyed the last 2.5 hours. Still got a couple of segments left in tonight's live broadcast, but for the last 2.5 hours, we've been trying to break down the situation in Ferguson, the likes of which you're not going to find in most aspects of the establishment media. And I have to make be honest and say an exception, based upon what I've seen so far, for the most part, has been Fox, surprisingly, pleasantly surprisingly. They've stepped up and told the truth for a change with regards to this. But it's so very rare that we dedicate an entire show to a single topic. I think the last time we did this was a couple of years ago when the verdict came in the George Zimmerman trial, Trayvon Martin. We'll be talking about this one again more next week, too, ladies and gentlemen, with guests. You know, this is a story in which all of the things we talk about on this show on a regular basis over the course of the last decade have come together, and there's a convergence. You know, media control, racial tension, hatred of white people, white guilt. You know, and I blame white people for this to a great extent. You know, if you enforce the laws, this doesn't happen. But you're not enforcing the laws because you're afraid of being called a racist. You're afraid of suffering the fate of Darren Wilson. Well, you should be afraid of that, but you wouldn't have to be if you didn't allow people like Barack Obama and Eric Holder to get into power in the first place and allow the media to make you feel guilty for standing up for your right to survive and live under fair play and rule of law. Amen, Keith. All right, but JJ, back to you.
You know,
JJ, are you there?
You're probably familiar with this, the case that was in Westchester, New York, in a high dime area, very expensive area, where the federal government had come in and said that through this tyranny of the zip code, meaning that an economically a very wealthy neighborhood, of course, the zip code is terrorizing the people who can't afford to live there, and that's the discrimination. It's economic. It's not race-based. If you have enough money and you're black, you're going to live wherever you can live, right?
Well, absolutely. And again, the civil rights movement was not sold to the American people on the basis that we were going to morph from one type of racial discrimination to another. We weren't going to stop discriminating against black people and start discriminating against white people. If that had been the announced purpose of the civil rights movement, it would never have gotten off the ground. It was to be that we were going to stop racial discrimination altogether. There was never any promise that economic factors were never going to come into play about determining where people should live. And this shows you how radically left-wing things have gotten since the 1950s in America.
Well, you know, I always think of young people in a way to try to wake them up. And one of the things that I think needs to be like a carrot dangled in front of their head is a job in terms of, look at affirmative action, now called diversity, means that you as a white boy or girl won't have any future, don't have any future, because you're not going to be able to get a job, period, end of story. No whites need apply. And so I think to kind of break down these cultural Marxist brainwashing that they've all succumbed to, we need to use things that are really going to hit home with them, like where are you going to work? Guess who's first on the list? It's not you. It doesn't matter if you're an A student and you aced everything. They don't want
that. Well, exactly. No, exactly. And we need to insist upon the color blindness that was sold to us as being the new principle around which society would be ordered. You know, I have a son who applied to medical school, took the MCAT, and got a letter back from the director of multicultural affairs at Harvard Medical School saying, congratulations on your excellent score. We want you to know that people with your background and scores similar to yours typically get into Harvard Medical School, and we encourage you to apply. Don't worry about financial aid. We have plenty of it. Well, if you read it further, and the fact that it came from the office of the Dean of Multicultural Affairs, it was obvious they thought that he was a minority group, either Hispanic or black or something else, other than what he was. He made a certain score on the MCAT. Well, if he had been, he was white, he's being considered, in his true colors, which is as a white applicant, he may or may not get into the state medical school. If he were black and made the same score, he would get a free ride to Harvard Medical School. Well, so much for this often quoted maxim from Martin Luther King that he wanted his daughters to be judged not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. That was a lie. It was like Vilfredo Pareto's famous comment. He was an Italian socialist in the 19th century who said, "When I am weak, I seek equality and justice from you because those are your principles. When I am strong, I deny equality and justice to you because those are my principles." We're seeing that played out in America today. There's no justice for white people, white applicants. They are going to, by hook or crook, shoehorn minorities into positions of economic prominence and political power, regardless of qualifications. Meritocracy be damned. And we're going to have to insist that the civil rights movement's promise of a colorblind society come to fruition. The left doesn't want that because they know if we have a colorblind society in which merit rules, that the same people that lost before will continue to lose. And that's not acceptable to them. They don't think in terms of principle.
We have to explain to young people what these terms mean because they don't understand what they mean. Unless somebody spells it out like you would or James would or I would or all the people listening to your show, they're not going to understand it. They don't know. I have a great niece who's 14, and I mentioned affirmative action. She said, "Well, what is that?" She had no clue. None whatsoever. And they're not going to hear it in the classroom. They're going to hear that if you're white, you're evil. Everything you've done has been evil. The white man is the worst thing that ever happened to the planet. That's all they're going to hear.
Well, this is why our ancestors were so leery of public education and government education. We're seeing all of their admonitions. What was the famous quotation that said, what all the wise men said would occur has failed to materialize, and what all the damn fools said is happening, okay? All of our people here in Red State America warned about the government's control of the schools back in the 19th century and into the 20th century, and lo and behold, they were right. The experts from Blue State America were wrong, and we're all saddled with the consequences, which is that our children are being brainwashed and dumbed down. You know, the original intention of public school racial integration was to raise black and Hispanic kids to the level of whites. Now that that hasn't worked, they've moved seamlessly to another plan, which is to dumb down everybody going to public school to the same low level, and they're succeeding.
JJ, thank you so much for the call. It's been very thought-provoking, and we appreciate it.
Thanks. Thanks for allowing me to talk. Bye.
No problem. Call back anytime. Thanks for listening. Well, I mean, she brings up good points, Keith, and it's points that you can't make enough. And I know oftentimes we reiterate points that have been made time and time again on this show because obviously we're the only people doing it. And you have to because you welcome new people to this show each and every week. I mean, we started off the show before we got into Ferguson full force. We're reading an email from a fellow who tuned in last week for the first time and now apparently going to be a regular listener. So, yeah, we have to recover ground from time to time, but especially when it's these fundamental points, these foundational key issues and principles that must be ingrained into the minds of people because they're not going to be getting it anywhere else. And, yeah, I can't help but circle back to just the bloodlust. The bloodlust that we see from these agitators in Ferguson. And again, a lot of these people are out-of-towners. You know, they're just coming down here to take advantage of the situation. Looting tourism, yes. But to scream on national television for this man to be killed, this officer who, as far as we know, and based upon what it looks like so far, was defending his life, is just unconscionable. You know, whites in the South in the 50s and 60s were called racist for merely wanting to preserve the way of life as they knew it, but never, never did you see a George Wallace rally where they screamed for the death of black people. Not at all. But they were, of course, called racist. And in this case, to no surprise, these black people are calling for the death of a white man, And guess what? White people are still racist. These black people are justified in that, according to the media, according to Eric Holder.
Yep. There's a definite double standard. You know, we're playing a game where the rules are heads I win, tails you lose. And we don't need to play that game. We need to insist on colorblindness. Colorblindness is nothing to fear. We'll do great in a colorblind society. That is, as long as we keep America's borders secure.
We got to take a break. One last segment tonight. We might can take one more call. If you want to be that caller, let us hear from you. Give us a ring. 1-866-986-NEWS.
If you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rain fly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our zero-degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
Whoa! This is big!
Not just big, it's the Freeze Dry Guys Giant Factory Authorized Sale. This month, save 30 to 45% off on number 10 cans of high-quality Mountain House freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy. Factory fresh stock just arrived, so now is the time to stock up with the finest, best-tasting, longest-proven shelf-life foods in the industry at giant savings of 30 to 45% off. But hurry, supplies are limited to only the stock we have on hand. Call 866-404-3663. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com. Hurry, the Giant Factory authorized Mountain House sale is going on now, only from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211 or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
I just got to say, again, welcome back, Keith Alexander. I mean, of course, Keith was with us last week for the first time in a few weeks. First time in 7 or 8 years that he'd been with us on the show that he'd missed more than 1 or 2 weeks in any given stretch consecutively. But he couldn't have come back on a better night to be back in the furnace full throttle. And he's been with me for the entire 3 hours tonight as we attempt to break down this case. And our coverage of Ferguson will continue next week. Thanks again to everybody who's called in this evening and for everyone tuned in tonight, making us.
caller just walked into the studio, everybody, and turned off the lights on us. So, no, I'm just kidding. You know, it's the second time in 3 or 4 weeks we've had a power outage in the studio. I mean, the gremlins are out to get us. But I was saying before we had to reboot the equipment here at our flagship station, I mean, nothing like high quality. That's what we Yeah, well, you know, again, but thank you for putting us in the top 10. It's hard to believe with the budget we've got. We're not in the top 10, but we are of those shows that are broadcasting live online right now. And that, of course, doesn't count the audience that is tuned in on the AMF and the affiliates across the country. But it just goes to show that this panel is that we could use, and even though we're implementing and integrating new equipment, it wouldn't hurt to get a breaker in here or something of the sort. So, now listen, folks, you know, we're doing a lot. If you've enjoyed the commentary tonight, if you've enjoyed the coverage of this critical issue that the political cesspool has provided, please remember us. You know, we have these quarterly fundraising drives. The next one will actually kick off next week in September. It'll be our third quarter fundraising drive, and those 4 months of the year are entirely responsible for sustaining us over the course of the other 8 months. But if I told you what we brought in this month in August in contributions, it would make Abe Foxman and Morris Dees laugh and salivate with delight. So if you've enjoyed the show tonight, if you enjoy our work, remember us and remember that we are a listener-supported entity, and you can contribute securely online at thepoliticalcesspool.org. And again, our third quarter fundraising drive will kick off next week. Please keep us in mind as we continue to tell the truth in a very big way to a very big and ever-growing audience on the nationally syndicated Liberty News Radio Network and on the mainstream FCC-regulated airwaves. We're doing the job that Americans refuse to do.
Well, let me put a capstone on this show then. What I'd like to say about Ferguson, Missouri is this. We have an entire nation that is acting as if this is something unique, new, and unprecedented. It's something they haven't seen before. They don't have my historical memory. Being the age that I am, I actually have firsthand recollections of the Civil Rights Movement. Everything that's happening in Ferguson, Missouri happened during the Black Civil Rights Movement in the 50s and 60s. The only difference was, or is, that now we have alternative media. Before, we were captives of the mainstream media, which was then captured a la the Long March through the Institutions of Cultural Marxism by the left, and you only got a left-wing perspective. They were the masters of the discourse, as Tom Sunic, the noted Croatian nationalist and paleoconservative, calls it. Now, what has happened is that people are now becoming aware of the techniques used by the left. The left has a playbook. They established it back in the 50s, starting with the Brown versus Board of Education usurpation of governmental sovereignty by the power of judicial review. And they have continued to use that playbook, even though the playing field has changed. The playing field has changed because of alternative media, particularly the Internet, and particularly the ability of radio stations like ours and radio programs like ours to have an audience. People are hungry for this. Now, the younger people are the ones that are listening to this. We have some older people, but a lot of people are still captives of the mainstream. And a lot of those people have just tuned out. They would rather go to the lake and tour around on their jet ski or go to some college football game or something like this. And that's because of the left-wing's monopoly on information that was established in the 50s and 60s, a lot of conservatives have decided that it's a no-win situation. We're in a different world now. This is a world in which we can win. This is not the world that Sean Hannity and Glenn Beck imagined it to be, in which the left and liberalism started out as righteous heroes and somehow went astray. They were malevolent from the beginning, and the Civil Rights Movement was just the first of numerous radical egalitarian movements intended to subvert and destroy the old order. Now, before it's all gone, before we've basically lost our country and we've been submerged into third world status through illegal immigration, the clarion call is going out. We need to tell Glenn Beck and people like him that they're all wet, that the civil rights movement was bad. Everything that we were talking about, this like staging of protests, scripting what goes on, and selectively reporting what has actually gone on, that was the modus operandi of the left throughout the civil rights movement. That's what happened at Selma. That's what happened at Ole Miss. That's what happened at Little Rock. And now you're getting a view into this, and it happened before that during Reconstruction. Red State America is enemy-occupied territory. We've known that for a long time. We've tried to not believe it, but, you know, we're no longer, you know, basically the information is coming out so big that we can't ignore it anymore, and we need to come out and be forthright about it.
Well, Keith, that being said, thanks again for your contribution, your invaluable contribution to tonight's commentary. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't see it, but I'm now shaking the hand of my good friend and Confederate Keith Alexander. And you bring up, he's my Confederate in more ways than one. But you bring up a good point, Keith. You know, to a large degree and to a depressing degree, people my age and younger, I'm 34 years old, not nearly as young as I was 10 years ago when I started this show, but they have tuned out in a way. But the political cesspool is doing, making great strides in making these issues fashionable and in vogue and contemporary again. We're making it trendy. We can do something about it. I mean, you could say we're a hit and we have a cult following, but we're bigger than that. I mean, we're a bona fide hit. We're a bona fide hit, and you look at the bridges we're building into the establishment media, and I think we're influencing people at Fox, and we have these connections that we're making. We're breaking through far and beyond the sphere of white advocacy to something much bigger, and the political cesspool is right in the middle of this, folks, and we're going to continue to upgrade our equipment here. The show is great. We're working on making it even more professional sounding, and I apologize for the temporary glitch there in that last segment. We're going to get that fixed. We know what the problem is, and the radio station here is putting in new equipment. And, you know, anytime you buy a new car, a new airplane, you got to have a couple of test drives, and it's all under control. The technicians will be in. It won't happen again, but it just goes to show. We do need your support. We have invested in some new stuff. I think we have sounded much, much better over the course of the last couple of weeks when we're on our mics. And we're going to continue to improve things because this message needs to be heard and needs to be as professionally and well done as possible. And with that, I'm going to give it to Keith. The music's going to start any second. I'm going to give it to Keith to lead us to the promised land tonight.
All I'm going to say is that the money you spend with the political cesspool is going to be the best money you spend if you want the type of changes to occur in American society that we're talking about. If you want mainstream media to get on the right page, get on the same page as us, we're the ones that are doing that. We're the ones that basically have connections with Anthony Cumio, Sean Bergen, Charlie the Duff, people like this, that are now beginning to sound an awful lot like James Edwards and Keith Alexander and Eddie Miller and Winston Smith. This is what we need in Scoop Stanton. This is what we need, folks, and we can do it. This is the best money you can spend. This is money. 1 cent spent with us is like spending $10 with someone else.
Thanks for joining us tonight.
Thanks again, Keith, and good night, everybody. God bless you. We'll continue this coverage next week. For the rest of my staff and crew, I'm James Edwards.
Go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.